Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations. George Barna states that less than 5% of parents with children ages 5 to 13 in the home have a biblical worldview. Why is that important? Because this is the state of the majority of parents in our country. This is also the state of our children. George Barna also says that less than 4% of our nation's 13-year-olds have a biblical worldview. In this final part of his first session, Why Children Matter Most, George Barna will be sharing that no matter how you slice it or dice it, children are the single most important mission field in our nation and in the ministry of our churches. We hope you enjoy George Barna as he shares his impassioned belief that imparting to children a biblical worldview really does matter most.
The Christian historian David Barton and I wrote a book together a couple of years ago called U-Turn. And in that book, we were trying to figure out how did America get from where it was 250 years ago or more to where it is today. And one of the things that I was able to do was to compare today's values with the values of people in colonial America. Now, they didn't have the Gallup survey back in 1770. But they did have a lot of documents, and David has the largest private collection of historical artifacts from that period of American history of anybody. So I spent a lot of time going through the documents that would let me know what the prevailing values of that day were, whether we were talking about the textbooks that were being used in the schools or in homeschooling, whether we were talking about the sermons and what was being preached and how it was being spoken of, the sermons that were given in the Congress and in state legislatures, all of those kinds of things. Put it all together and came up with a list of what appeared to be the top 10 values of colonial America. And you can see them in the left there. Things like the importance of hard work, the fact that each of us had a civic duty if we were going to be good citizens, the importance of humility and moderation, the central role of family in a person's life, the role of faith and what it meant to them, the importance of rule of law, living a frugal life and a simple life. Those were the things that mattered to Americans in the mid-1700s to early 1800s. Those were the things that they pushed for. Those were the things that they were taught. That's how they evaluated whether or not they were living a meaningful and successful life. And then I jumped ahead to today and looked at our surveys and identified what I believe would be considered the 10 most important values to most Americans. That's the group on the right. Things like always feeling comfortable, having as many experiences of whatever kind that you want, being able to fully express yourself at all times and all places, experiencing happiness, independence, sense of entitlement, wanting to have control over one's life and situations, feeling accepted and belonging, the importance of absolute freedom. Now, without making a value judgment about either of those two lists, and by the way, I can spend an hour just tearing these lists apart and talking about the differences. One thing I want you to notice before I move on, there's not a single value that overlaps between those two groups. America used to stand for one thing that it no longer stands for. Why? Because our worldview has driven us to a very different place in terms of who we see ourselves as being, what we see as being important in life. And realize that worldviews don't just happen. They're intentionally and strategically delivered to us to embrace. We can look at another way in which the shift in worldviews is impacting our culture. We can look at what Americans now believe to be moral behavior. And as we look at this, and we've been tracking this for years and years, we've seen the shift coming slowly but steadily. And so now we're in a place where when we talk about morality, and morality again means what we perceive to be right or wrong, moral behaviors being those things that we think are acceptable, they're right, they're proper, they're appropriate. Divorce, an unmarried man, unmarried woman having a sexual relationship, gambling, having sexual thoughts or fantasies about people that you're not married to, gay and lesbian people having sexual relationships, allowing a doctor to help somebody to die, identifying as a homosexual, living with somebody that you're not married with of the opposite sex, having a child without being married to the person who conceived it with you. All of these things are now considered by a majority of Americans to be appropriate behaviors. Joining those very soon will be these things: marijuana use for any and all purposes, having an abortion, using profanity, intentionally looking at pornography, sexual interaction between teenagers. Right now, we're at a place where close to 4 out of 10 adults in America say that 2 teenagers having sex with each other is morally acceptable behavior. And that number has been rising very quickly because, again, the worldview in America has changed. The idea, the postmodern idea, you can't impose any kind of limitations upon us. Part of this is changing because millennials have been leading the way in this move toward postmodernism. And so you can see how it impacts moral thinking and moral behavior. So that raises the question, well, what do we do about this? As parents, does what parents believe really matter? And I'd suggest to you it does because of what we've been talking about. It's a parent's primary job, primary responsibility in life to raise up their children to be spiritual champions. And the way that we do that is through the kind of worldview that we help them to understand and to embrace. But as I mentioned earlier, most parents are not taking that responsibility seriously. Instead, what they're doing is passing it on to other people and other institutions. So the idea here is that, you know, we found in terms of learning strategies, or in a church context, discipleship strategies, the thing that makes the biggest difference is personal coaching. It's not attending a lecture, it's not going to any kind of a big event. It's having one person who you know and trust, who knows you and is trying to do what's best for you, coming alongside you on a regular basis and helping you to grow. Coaching. But what we find is that most parents are out there looking to pay professional coaches to do whatever needs to be done with their children, including in the spiritual arena. In fact, if we were to look at the beliefs of the people who today have children under the age of 13 in their homes, it's not a pretty profile. You find that a minority of them have a biblical view of who God is, if they even believe that he exists. You find that only 4 out of 10 of them say that religious faith is even important in their own life. Less than 4 out of 10 of them believe there is such a thing as Satan. You find that about 1 out of 3 of them say the Bible is totally accurate in the principles that it teaches. About 1 out of 3 would say that some kind of religious faith and training and education and exposure is important for their children. Just about 1 out of 4, 27%, slightly more, are born-again Christians themselves. And you can go on down the line there and see the beliefs. Why does that matter? Because you can't give what you don't have. You only give what you have. This is what parents have. This is how they perceive truth. This reflects the worldview that parents in America today have. And in fact, if we look at the trend lines on many of those things that were on that prior chart, what we find is that it's not getting better, it's getting worse. It's getting worse very quickly. And so there are fewer and fewer parents who are capable of raising up their children to be spiritual champions. In fact, another way of looking at all that is to recognize that right now, only 5% of the parents who have children between 5 and 13 in their households have a biblical worldview. And again, why does that matter? Because you give what you have. You're not going to share something that you don't believe. This has even impacted the way that we look at American life. There has traditionally been this idea of the ideal of American society and American life called the American dream. And the nature of the American dream is that it says that, you know, if you work hard, you'll do well, that you can have a great family life and, you know, you can own a home together and live comfortably within it. You can have a fulfilling marriage and life with your children. There are going to be many opportunities that you're exposed to. You can take advantage of those. You have all kinds of opportunities to practice the faith of your choice because we have freedom of religion. And there's a responsibility that you have to balance your freedom with what it means to be a good citizen. But that, in essence, was what the American dream was, to be able to enjoy that. And people all over the world come running here because they want to have that kind of experience. But what we're finding is because of the shift in worldviews, most people now believe that that traditional view of the American dream is no longer even possible in American society. It may not be desirable in the eyes of millions and millions, and it's no longer possible in the eyes of millions more. And in essence, what's happened is that that's been replaced by what I would call a new millennium dream, which is very different in its essence. It says that, you know, all you should really do is work hard enough to get by, customize your family experience so that you're feeling comfortable and happy. It's important, maybe, but it's up to you to be spiritual, but you don't have to get overly religious about it. Because you're American and you pay taxes, you're entitled to your freedom and all the rights that come with being an American. There's no real thought or discussion given to the responsibilities related to that. As you try to figure out what's right and wrong, it's up to you. You're the only one that can know for you. And really, the ultimate goal in life is happiness. And that's determined by the levels of comfort and convenience and choice and relationships and experiences that you have in your life. That's the way that most Americans are living now. So let me bring you back to what we talked about earlier. It's a parent's primary life responsibility to help to see the lives of children transformed into those of spiritual champions. And we can go through all those scriptures again, but the bottom line here is that what we're talking about doing is developing the worldview of children. And again, that worldview is going to carry forth with them for the next 30, 40, 50, 60 years, however many more years the Lord gives them. And so what do we do about this? We're going to talk about that ad nauseum in the next section, but before we leave, let me just offer these things for you to think about. One of those is that if this matters to you, and I know tonight I'm probably speaking to the choir, but that's okay. The choir needs to be spoken to as well. You've got to choose to focus on children. I think one of the primary issues that we have in the American church is that somewhere along the way we transitioned and we said our primary job is to minister to adults. For the reasons I've been talking about tonight, adults don't change. Now, the Holy Spirit can change anybody at any moment. I have no issue with that. I know that's the truth. But again, on average, adults don't change. It's children who are going through that formative stage who have the opportunity to embrace a worldview that enables them to be more Christ-like. And therefore, it's important that we commit the resources to the spiritual development of children. The bottom line here is that children are the single most significant mission field for the American church today. No matter what church we're talking about, no matter what group of people I'm talking to, this is the truth. Children are where we win or lose the game. This is where Satan is putting his energy, because he recognizes, like Lenin did and like Mussolini did and like so many other dictators in human history who said, if I win the children, I win the war. It's the same thing in America today, simply with different actors and a more sophisticated strategy on the part of the enemy. So understand, they're our mission field because we've been called by God to reach them. We're doing this in the midst of a secular culture that is looking forward to twisting their minds and their hearts. And if you're trying to figure out how can you really make a difference with your life, there's no group that you'll have a bigger impact with. There's no group that will give you a bigger return on your investment. No matter how you slice it or dice it, children matter.
Thank you again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.
I don't want to forget, so please tell me again.